Good morning. It is Thursday, September the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Quick, funny story. My sister, Missy, is an occupational therapist in Central Arkansas, and she was doing an evaluation of a woman who is up in her 90s and struggling with some dementia, among other things. And so in these evaluations, they, you know, just have to ask basic questions. And one of the questions in the list is, can you tell me what year it is? And the lady looked Missy right in the eye and said, it's the year of our Lord. And Missy said, correct. And she said, I've never gotten that answer before. So, ma'am, gold star for you. It is the year of our Lord. And that's 2024. And that was 2023. That will be 2025 until he comes and culminates all of time with his final coronation, when the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Messiah. And he shall reign forever and ever. It is the year of our Lord. And as long as it is so, we will declare the word of the Lord that he has decreed. Okay, well, it's Thursday, and it's time to consecrate ourselves, friends. We are living in his kingdom. We are looking forward to a better city, a city with foundations, the text says in Hebrews 11, whose architect and builder is God. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying, enfolded in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our entry today is entitled, So God Led the People Around by the Desert Road. When God Takes the Long Road. Our text is Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. Hear now the word of the Lord. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. We've all heard the cliche bandied about that God doesn't give us anything he knows we can't handle. I've never given it much credence, and pretty much filed it in the folder that holds other so-called biblical sayings that aren't actually in the Bible, like, God helps those who help themselves. I've never actually seen this phrase in the Bible about God not giving us more than we can handle, until today. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter, for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. I bet they were furious. After all, they had been through with the bricks without straw program and the 10 plagues ordeal and the bloody lambs and the sudden departure at night with all the kids and the sheep and the cows and everything else. Why on earth would they take the long way around the bend at a time like this? Can you imagine the armchair quarterbacking cycling through the ranks? Did Moses just not know the shortcut? Did he think they couldn't defeat the Philistines? After all, the text tells us they left Egypt, quote, ready for battle. To the average Israelite, the whole thing must have felt very questionable. Truth be told, the plan would soon go from questionable to certifiably insane. God knew. He knew what they could handle and what they could not handle. God knew the mileage differential between the two routes. He knew the soldier count in the Philistine armies. And he knew what the Israelite body count would be on the other side of a battle. He knew they would be ready to turn around and go back to Egypt, settle back into their slavish existence, and count it all as a bad dream. God chose not to give them more than he knew they could handle. Instead, he would take them by a longer route, in a way that felt like lost wandering, only to arrive at a dead end and their impending doom. God knew they could handle this, perhaps because it would put them in the kind of impossible situation from which only God could save them. Isn't that how it goes? We can trust God. He engineers our circumstances beyond our knowing. Often it will not make sense to us at the time. At times it will seem like the worst possible thing has happened, that we have gone from bad to worse, from lost to hopeless. Our prayers will seem to bounce off the ceiling. God has a higher plan, a better plan, with endless contingencies, and everything can ultimately be worked together for our good and God's glory. Keep on trusting. Cloud by day, fire by night. Never give up. Death on Friday, resurrection on Sunday. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. Though I feel lost and in the valley of the shadow of death, yet I will trust him. The prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. I receive the deliverance of your Exodus. You are my Passover, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Lamb of God who conquered death. Even still, I confess I wonder at your ways, and I second guess your plans. The better way seems so clear to me. The shorter way seems like the right way, yet I know your ways are higher and better than mine. You see the end from the beginning. You see the things that are not as though they were. I am so tempted by the shorter route and the apparent easier way. Teach me to trust the long road around by the desert toward the Red Sea. Yes. And teach me to know that you will not give me more than I can bear. In fact, teach me to know that you will only give me what you can bear through me. Prepare my heart, mind, soul, and strength for the deliverance that comes with Exodus. And now let it be as you decree, for my good, for others' gain, and for your glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. The journal prompts for today, and I hope you're journaling. I know you may not be hitting every day, but, you know, don't look back. Just get back up, pick it up, open the book, start underlining, highlighting, circling, bolding, squaring, any way that you can get more engaged and caught in the gravity of God's Word. Let's do it. Have you witnessed or experienced a situation that didn't make sense at all, but that later worked itself into unforeseeable redemptive outcomes? Are you in such a situation now that has yet to resolve into any form of redemption? How might God be engineering your circumstances to effect maximum deliverance instead of taking the shortcut? And for our hymn today, we're going to sing, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. It's number 130. We'll come around to it in just a minute. Number 130 in our hymnal, our great Redeemer's praise. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Let's talk a bit more about this situation that the Israelites were facing. I mean, they it's just something to think about how they'd been through the centuries of slavery. And then they miraculously get a deliverer. God is coming to their aid. Moses is sent to Pharaoh. That's a slow, painstaking process. It winds up being 10 plagues. And this is what deliverance looks like. You know, sometimes before, maybe most times, maybe all times, before there's great awakening, there's rude awakening, and it's a mess. And it goes on, and then finally they get out. 2 million plus people are coming out of Egypt, and then they seem to be lost and wandering. And if you'll hear it tomorrow, it's going to be, it gets even worse, apparently. But we're seeing it from our very limited point of view. You know, we're seeing it as though we're playing checkers with Pharaoh. But remember, God is always playing chess. And it's like multidimensional and multi-layered and complex and sophisticated. And he's just like, trust my word. Can you put your hope in me? and my word alone. And can you let go of all the armchair quarterbacking and second guessing and all the complaining and grumbling and despairing and anxiety and depression? Can you get to the place of full trust in me and in my word? Now, that's a tall order, I'll grant you. I struggle. I struggle as much as you do, maybe more. But I'm learning and I'm growing. And, you know, I said it the other day, can we have a shifting of the center of gravity in our life from the gravity of just our experience, which is tossed to and fro on the waves? And it's up and down and up and down. And we're interpreting God's faithfulness through just the constant lens of our failures. And can we get the center of gravity shifted over to the Word of God? And what that's going to mean, it's not just holding my Bible in my hand and saying, God, I believe it. No, it's actually, this is the book that God has decreed. Now I'm going to learn to declare it all day long, not just in the morning, but I'm going to talk about it when I get up, when I lie down, when I walk along the road. I'm going to impress it on my children. I'm going to put it on my hand and bind it to my forehead in some way. I'm going to put it on my gate and on the doorpost of my house. I've got to be continually reminded and remembered and put back together by this word, day by day by day. This is our hope. And we so quickly forget. Well, it's time to sing, friends. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. We'll sing all four verses. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Amen. That's a good song for the road today, the the desert road, the long way around the bend. You know, he could have taken them up to the Philistines, and they would have been through a bloody war. And then guess who would have been right behind them, chasing them down in the midst of their bleeding? Pharaoh, Pharaoh's army. No, the Lord wanted to take them to what seemed not to be like a difficulty. He wanted to take them straight into the face of a dead end, the Red Sea, so that the second greatest miracle of all miracles, foreshadowing the greatest miracle of all miracles, how the parting of the seas would foreshadow the cross and resurrection, the parting of the very heavens. Yeah. Gosh, I've got to stop. Guys, get your seats. People are out there struggling on that long road today. They're wondering. They're lost. They're wandering. They're confused. They need encouragement. They need to sense the presence of Jesus rising up in you to meet them. He's ready. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.